name, gracious Father, we honor you and your word in Jesus' name. You can be seated. Thank you. You know, Brother Fred, I still remember the first service you guys walked into. Now, I never asked you this question, but I heard that you told somebody after I preached the first message of the first sermon, you said, this is the greatest hidden thing in all of Ashtabula County. Do you recall that? I believe you said it because it's true. That's what I was told. I remember one Sister Karen, you don't know this, Brother Fred, she told me, you may have heard it, I don't know, but she said, Pastor, I've been to so many different churches and I've heard so many different things, sometimes I just don't know what to believe. It'll mess you all up. That's why stability is so important. People want to bounce around to church because their feelings got hurt and you don't think they did what they should have done for you. You're just an unstable nincompoop. I love you, but you are an unstable and you're just destroying your own mind. You're destroying your own heart. You don't rip a tree out and transplant it every 2 years and think it's going to survive and grow. It'll never. And so life is like this storm that Peter was in. We're tossed one way, the wind blows another. You ever felt that way? You ever felt like, man, you're just getting beat up? Man, no matter what way you go, you're just getting beat up. Boy, I know what that feels like. I know you do too. That's life. The Lord never promised us we're going to walk on streets of gold here. He never said they're going to greet you with palm leaves and give you a golden throne. No, life is like a storm. And sometimes it's terrible and sometimes the sun comes out. But somewhere along the way during this storm, Jesus comes walking into our mess. I feel the Holy Ghost. It's easy to forget when he stepped into your life, especially if you were born into this. And I'm not taking your walk away because you chose to stay in it. But when he stepped into your life, when you weren't born in it, it's just a different story. It just begins to transform you. It's not a better story, it's just a different story. And if you're not careful, you'll forget where you were and what a mess it was and what the storm was like the day that he walked in. Initially, as Peter was, you become uncertain when he steps into your life. There's some uncertainty, there's some doubt, there's some questions. Call them up after you visit. I would like to know what you thought. But, well, you know, it's nice. You know, I have a couple questions, and that's all right. It's no problem. Just ask them. Lady posted on Facebook, said, I just have a question. I want to know why this church does this and this and that. Now, I was tempted to engage, but I learned a long time ago, don't engage with stupidity. But I wanted to say, if you really had a question, just Google the phone number and call. You don't have a question. You're a gossiper. You want to stir up drama. You don't have a question. But I'm here to tell you, if you have a question, ask. If you're uncertain of something, ask. Peter was uncertain. He said, all right, Lord, if. I think it's you. I believe it's you. But I don't know. I feel a little uneasy. I don't know why I feel uneasy. If it's you, just tell me to come. Now, I got to be honest with you. I'm not sure Peter... I didn't get past 10th grade. I don't know if he got past 7th. I mean, if I'm the devil, I'd say, come. How is come a sign that it's Jesus? You know what I'm saying? All right, we'll move on past that. But he did. And then there are the Peters of our generation. Lord, if it's you. And he stepped out of that boat in faith, trusting that it was the Lord. That in itself is the entirety of our walk with God. At some point, the Lord stepped in and we stepped out. We stepped out in faith, believing that it was him, trusting that it was him. We heard his voice. We were a little unsure, but we're going to take this step of faith anyway. And we walked on water for a few steps, so it must be him. But then the storm shows up. And when the storm shows up, you start taking your eyes off everything that's right. And you start looking at the people that hurt your feelings. And you start looking at the circumstances around you. And you start looking at how tough the trial is. And you start looking at everything you don't like. And then you begin to sink. See, we don't call it sinking. We just call it, I'm going to stay home today. If the Lord would let the ground open up and start to swallow us up, we might have a better reality of our situation sometimes. But that's what it is. We begin to sink because we have taken our eyes off the Lord. I'm a believer that you got to put everything in His hands. I'm a believer that you got to sometimes put your family in your hands and take your stupid boxing gloves off and act like you're going to beat everybody up because they look at your family wrong. Well, nobody mess with my family. I'm not saying you shouldn't protect your family. I'd pop off a few rounds. Someone walked in my house at midnight. I guarantee it. I pulled a gun on people in my driveway before. Unfortunately, it was our youth group. I didn't know it. They were TPing my house. They never did that again. That was way back when I lived in Parma. They didn't do that again, but I didn't know who it was. They didn't know I had just gotten my jet ski stolen a couple weeks earlier. I thought, someone's back to take something else. I leaped 12 stairs in a single bound, just like Superman. I did. I went down those steps. I racked that gun. I threw the door open, and they started running. I said, don't run, I'll shoot you. Don't shoot, Brother Scott. Who is it? You big dummy, don't TP my house at midnight. That's not smart. So I'm with you. I'm with you. But what I'm saying, I said a couple weeks ago, we gotta get this mentality out of us that we gotta fight everything and everybody. Because that's where people, and I'm going to show you in a couple of minutes, that's where people isolate themselves. They go off into the sunset thinking they're a victim to everybody and everything in the world. Everybody's out to get them. Everybody don't care about them. Nobody loves them. It don't matter what you do or how much you give. They keep singing the same story. They want to fight everything. Sometimes you don't got to fight. Sometimes you got to trust God. Put your kids in God's hands. Put your marriage in God's hands. Put your finances in God's hands. Put your relationship in His hands. Put everything in His hands. But you got to get flesh out of the way before you'll do that. Because your flesh will always want to act out. Your flesh will, I'll move on. So when Peter stepped out, he began to sink. If you are going to step out in faith and serve God, you are going to sink at some point in your life. You won't really know what that sinking sounds like or looks like until you feel like you're starting to drown in all of the chaos of this life and of this world. And when we step out in faith, we do so not knowing what's ahead. Peter said, Lord, if it's you bid me to come, he didn't say, and make sure I don't sink. make sure I want more than three steps, God. I want to stay afloat. Now, let's just be clear about that. I made that mistake once, too. I prayed and I told God, I said, I don't want to fight the battle of money. I said, I'm not calling people, asking them to tithe. I'm not asking them why. I'm not doing that stuff. That's not my job. I said, but I'll fight any other battle you want. You just fight the battle of money. I wish I'd have been a little more specific in that one. God, could you give me a list of battles? May I have a multiple choice? And I'll pick that one. Definitely not that one. This one's okay. I'll even take this one. It's a little tough, but I think I can. Not that one. I'd go back and change everything about that prayer. I'll stand right back by Brother Fed when I prayed that prayer. Peter didn't do that. He just said, bid me to come. When you step out in faith, but you don't know what lies ahead of you. And I'm here to tell you today, there are storms. What you're going through right now is a storm. Don't blame the church. Don't blame God. Don't blame the preacher. It's a storm. It's life. But the worst thing you can do is take your eyes, what you first stepped out of faith, out of the boat and faith in. Don't take your eyes off of that. Remember why you stepped out. Remember what you were looking at when you stepped out. Remember who you were looking at when you stepped out. That's not the time to take your eyes off of Jesus.
That's not the, this is not the time. Whatever you're going through in your life, I don't care how bad it might be. And I don't mean that I don't care. I do care, but I'm just saying it's irrelevant. Don't take your eyes off Jesus. That's not the time to stop going to church. That's not the time to quit praying. That's not the time to not get involved in the fast on Wednesday night. Come on, somebody. That's not the time. But what happens is everything around us, it just gets us discombobulated. Do you know when Kobe Bryant's helicopter went down? I don't know if you know why it went down. I mean, you know about the fog. But there's something in your ear. That when you're flying, it begins to almost like regulate. I can't remember exactly how they explained it, but he became disoriented because what is in there that causes you to realize I'm up in the air, I'm flying, whatever. It just, he became all discombobulated. They crashed a helicopter face down. He thought he was flying steady. You get to the point where you don't know if you're level, you don't know if you're this way or that way, and they watched the path of the helicopter, and it kept slowly going like that, so slow. He didn't realize it because he was so discombobulated and lost in the fog. He didn't understand that they were tilting more and more and more until he went headfirst into the ground. That's what happens when you're in a storm. You become so disoriented, you don't know which way's up, which way is down. That's not the time to take your eyes off of Jesus. That's not the time to change churches. That's not the time to stay home. It's not the time. And I want to tell you with all of my heart, I believe that that is the life and the example that Sister Karen gave us. She stayed the course. Even though she had uncertainty at times, she stayed the course. She didn't leave. She didn't change churches. She didn't go somewhere else, but she stayed the course.
And so if you're going to step out in faith, you're going to sink. It's not a if, it is when. Staying in the boat, that's isolation. That's not the answer. I'll go back home to my living room, Pastor, and I'll just stream some preacher. That's not an answer. That's isolation, that's control. You want to be in control because you're afraid of giving. Staying in the boat means I don't want to give God control. Staying in the boat means I'm okay right here all by myself with nobody. I don't have to worry about anybody. I can do my own little thing. I have my own little prayer time. That is because you're afraid to move in faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. Staying in the boat will never teach you to walk in a greater levels of faith. When you do step out, you're going to find circumstances beyond your control. Now, I'm going to talk to someone for a second. Is it beyond your control? That's because you're walking in faith. Is where you're at right now beyond your control? That's because you're walking in faith. When you're walking in faith, it's always out of your control. When I use the word Peter, I want you to think of Sister Karen this morning. Peter was wise enough to cry out to Jesus. Now, I was not there, Brother Fred, in your home every day. I'll be honest with you. I had a tremendous amount of respect for you when you told me that the next day after she passed, you opened up your Bible for your devotions. And the Lord took you to the scripture you gave me, which is a powerful scripture. What struck me is he didn't stay home and he wasn't crying and blaming God in this storm, in this season. He opened up his Bible like he did every other time. And that's what Sister Karen did. She didn't curse the storms. She didn't blame God for the storms in her life. She didn't curse the people around her. Peter did not. She didn't complain about the rain. She didn't blame God for not stopping the rain. God, I've been asking you to stop this storm forever. Why is it not stopping? How much longer, God? No, you know what she did? I believe she taught herself just to cry out to the Lord. Just cry out to Jesus. Just cry out to Jesus. Just cry out to Jesus. The story of when Sister Karen got in church is kind of a fascinating story, and I might butcher some of it. But I know that I believe at some point, somewhere along the way, she was maybe in her early 30s, and her kids started going to a church. And so one day she decided she wanted to get on that van or bus or whatever it was, and because she wanted to check out exactly where the kids were going. That's good. That's good parenting. And from there, it was just all downhill, not in a bad way. You ever ride a big wheel up the hill? You ever ride a big wheel down the hill? Or a bike if you never rode a big wheel. Downhill's good. I remember she told me the story. They were in a Bible study. I don't know how many of them. Again, forgive me for not having all the particulars. 4 or 5 of them maybe. And they got into the book of Acts. And that night in their Bible study, all 5 people that had, they had no real solid church background, were filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. The next time they went to church, I think it was, what kind of church was it, Brother Fred? What? Presbyterian. They kicked them out for speaking in tongues. Some churches just like to be in control of their pulpit. We don't want God doing anything. We want to look religious. We want to act religious. Don't let God interfere with our services. So they kicked her out of church. From that point on, and I'll confess to you, they were, Brother Fred, you guys were here just, I don't know, maybe a month. We were in the middle of this building program, maybe a couple months. And that was the foyer back there where Nate and Sister Bonnie are sitting. That was the foyer. Then it was tile floor. And she was right back there by the sound booth door. I remember all these things. And she was mopping that day. She was here cleaning. Jumped right in. They both, the moment they got her, they both jumped right in and started working. And I remember she said something to me. And I knew that theologically we did not align on what she said. It wasn't anything bad. But I didn't say anything to her. Because I knew that I needed to earn their trust first. I needed them to learn my heart, know my heart, before I could get them to trust me. And I just watched the change, not only in just but both of them over the years. And they stayed. And I'm not going to ask Brother Fred, because he would probably joyfully raise his hand, but I'm sure you didn't always agree with everything. But they stayed. They stayed. They kept their eyes on Jesus. She kept her eyes on Jesus. She kept her eyes on Jesus. She kept her eyes, no matter what was going on around her, she kept her eyes on Jesus. And so when that moment comes where the Lord is going to let you breathe your last breath and leave this life, it's good to know that I kept my eyes on Jesus. I kept my eyes on Jesus, and I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to go see him. She pursued truth. She pursued righteousness. And so what did Sister Karen do throughout the course of her life? I'll only tell you what I know. Brother Fred might be able to enlighten you a little bit more. Number one, she believed. Acts chapter 8, verse 14, it says, "Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen on none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost." I had a Methodist pastor many years ago called me and Brother Chris up. We went and he said, "I want to hear about your beliefs." And so we sat down and I said to him, I said, "Well, I don't believe that you just accept the Lord and that's it." He said, "Well, neither do I." I thought, well, I don't know. It's not supposed to go this easy, God. Let's keep going. I said, "Well, I believe you must be born again of the water and the Spirit, as the Bible says." He says, "So do I." And I thought, all right, there's a trap here. There's nothing goes as easy. I've been doing it. And I said a couple other things, and we were just in alignment. And finally, I said, just like a little light bulb went off, and I said, "Oh," I said, "What do you believe? How do you know when you have been filled with the Holy Ghost?" He says, "When you're baptized, you're filled with the Holy Spirit." Aha! I said, "Well, can you explain to me then why the Samaritans were baptized, but Peter and John still came down to pray for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost?" And he looked at me and he paused for about 10 seconds and he said, "Well, maybe not every time." And I said, "You can't change your theology like that without knowing something is wrong, something's off." So they were baptized, but they were baptized because they believed. The Bible says, and they had received the word of God. The word "received," it literally means to seize or to accept. To seize. You don't just fall into this. You don't just sift through it and take what you want, but you grab a hold of it like it's a matter of life and death.
And the reason some people struggle in their walk with God is because they won't seize, they won't receive the word. They take what they want and they sift through it. And they throw out the parts that they don't like. But there was a time in our country, and some of you will be able to amen this, you cleaned your plate or you didn't get up off the table. What you liked and what you didn't like. Because your parents are wise enough to know it's all good for you, not just the sweet tasting stuff. We live in a world of sugar. Everybody wants the sweet tasting stuff. We want to taste good. We're more, come on somebody. How did we ever get to the place where we sit down at a dinner table and the first thing we do is take a picture of the plate? That's not how we got it to this point in this country. I'm sorry if you've done, I've done it once or twice. I believe it. I'll be honest with you, but I got the point that, my God, I look like idiots just like everybody else. I'm not going to do this anymore. It's not about how pretty it looks, Brother Tyler. It's about nourishment. But we are a world addicted to looks and appeal and sweets. And when we come into the church, make it taste good. Make it look good. Don't give me anything that I disagree with because I told the waiter I want it this way. Can you take this back and make it again? This ain't your favorite restaurant. It's the word of God. It doesn't change. It's going to be the same way on your best day, and it's going to be the same way on your worst day, because it is what you need to survive in this life. It's what you need to get from here into eternity, and we're all headed there. It's just a matter of when. Am I okay? And so Sister Karen, she believed, and she received the way the Samaritans did. Luke 8:13, it says, they on the rock are they, which when they hear, this is speaking of the parable of the seed and the sower, when they hear, they receive the word with joy. Now, I'm going to slow that down just for a minute. When they hear, they receive the word with joy. It doesn't say when they hear their favorite Bible passage, they receive it with joy. It doesn't say when they hear one of their favorite sermons and favorite topics preached, they receive it with joy. Anybody can receive that with joy. No, when they hear it, whatever it is, whatever the word is today, whatever comes, when they hear it, they receive it with joy. Why? Because you know that it's all good. You know that if it's going to walk all over me, it's good. If it's going to encourage me, it's good. If it's going to rebuke me, it's good. If it's going to love me, it's good. It's all good. And they received it with joy. Joy. Sister Karen received it with joy. And these which have no root, for a while they believe, and in time of temptation they fall away. They believe when they step out, but during a time of, in a season of storm, is when people fall away. Number two, she did not neglect her salvation. The Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? I told the Lord once in prayer, I said, God, if I ever neglect your word, get a hold of me. If I ever neglect my relationship, shake me and stir me. If I ever neglect my prayer life, God, deal with me. Do what you have to do. Don't let me fall into a place of disrepair. Don't let me fall into a place where my walk with God is just something that I do when I have nothing else to do to fill my time. It's got to be the most important thing of my entire life. And I will tell you, I believe with all of my heart that it was that important to Sister Karen. I believe it meant everything to her. And so I said, God, pull me back and set me straight if you have to. And let the preach word gut punch me if that's what's required. But don't let me be lost. Don't let me be lost. It's so hard when you know God is trying to get people's attention because they're heading the wrong direction, but they're more interested sometimes, I'm just being honest, in their feelings, not being hurt, than they are being lost,
because they're so short-sighted. Sister Karen, Brother Fred was not a short-sighted person. Number three, she pressed forward. She didn't pause. The big thing today in this world. How are you and your boyfriend? Oh, our relationship's on pause. And now Facebook's got it all set up. Relationship's complicated. It's on pause. God, have mercy. What happened? Honey, what time are you coming home? Well, I'm not tonight, honey. I'm putting this on pause for a couple days. It's on pause. Help us. I don't even know where I was. I'm all messed up now. I gotta go back. She pressed forward. You don't pause your walk with God. It's a bad week. Had a pastor call me last week and he said, I got this guy, and he said he's just not coming. And he said, for the last 3 years, about once a year, he'd just say to me, hey pastor, I'm gonna take a little vacation. I won't come to church for a couple of services. And he's a newer pastor, good man, great man. But he just probably hadn't done it long enough to know that that's a bad sign. I'm going to pause. What are you going to do if Jesus comes while you're on pause? That's why the Bible says watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, 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 weak. Pause. She didn't pause her walk with God. Brother Fred, I can say this. Listen, you know me. I don't like to water stuff down, and I don't like to make things politically correct. I can say this. I don't think I've ever seen Sister Karen change in the years you've been in this church. I don't think she ever wavered. I'm sure she had bad days. I'm sure she had storms. But she knew how to handle, and she didn't put her walk with God on pause. No, she pressed forward. She pressed. And she pressed. And I promise you, there were days she'd be in there. And I just thought, man, she looks miserable. She must hate the preaching today. And I'd go back, how you doing? She'd say, I'm just hurting, Pastor. I'm just hurting. I'm just hurting everywhere. I'm just hurting. Oh my, I'm just so tired of being sick. I'm hurting. But you know what? She pressed forward. And she came. She didn't pause. But she showed up. She didn't pause. And she lifted her hands the best she could. She didn't pause. And that's why she made it. Philippians 3:13. The apostle said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. She pressed. Sometimes in this walk with God, you got to press. Sometimes you got to push yourself. You can't let your flesh rule the roost. You got to push yourself. I'm tired, Pastor. We'll be there. Sometimes you got to get up when you're tired and you got to get to the house of God. You got to press, because that's what are we doing? We're pressing towards the prize. We're pressing towards the mark of the high call in Christ Jesus. And so we press and we push and we push. You know why? Because sometimes you got enough opposition in your life, you got to push. You can't let the opposition win, you got to push. Push, push. I don't say that insensitively. I've had to push myself more than you ever know. But we press, we push. She pressed. Number four, she fought the fight. 2 Timothy 4:7, it says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I could say to you today that Sister Karen fought the good fight and she finished her course and she kept her faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Why do we fight? See, let me go back one more time. I fought the good fight. It's fight. It's a worthy fight. It's a worthy fight. And it's worthy because you keep your eyes on the prize. That's what makes it worthy. If you think you're not going to fight, you're sadly mistaken. But if you learn to bow out at the first sign of opposition, you wake up in the morning, the devil will be like, I know you didn't think it's, you're not feeling good today. I'm not feeling good today. It's like you got some Jedi mind trick over you. You're not going to go to church. I don't think I'm going to go to church. It's okay to stay home. It's okay to stay home. God knows your heart. God knows my heart. Really? That's what it is. So listen to me. I want you to do one thing for me this morning. Now, please, I'm gonna walk over to you if you don't do it. I want you to reach around. Even if you got bad shoulders like I do, I want you to pat yourself on the back. You know why? Because you fought the good fight today. You fought the good fight. You may not have wanted to come. You may have had to fight everything to get here, but you fought the good fight, and you made it. And if you don't think that matters, and finished. She fought, and she finished, and she kept the faith. Last, she didn't draw back at all. Hebrews 10 and 38. Can you come play? Because I'm not going to be a whole lot longer. I can't get my mind off that flight at 4 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Be gone for a couple days. We'll see you Sunday, good people. Look at that. It's like I just took the thunder out. My God. Just kidding. I wasn't thinking about the flight. I am now, though. She didn't draw back. Hebrews 10 and 38. Now the just shall live by faith. Listen, you're not going to live by your own strength. You're not going to live by your own intellect. You're not going to live off your ability to quote the Ten Commandments. You're not going to live because you can name all the books in the Bible, and that's all good, and I'm certainly not poo-pooing it at all, but you're not going to live that way. You're not going to live because you're smart and you're a hard worker. Pause the audio for a second. It's nothing bad, but I just don't want this on recording. It's the only way to live. The just shall live by faith. But watch. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. If any man shall draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. You need to say to yourself today, I'm not a part of the group that draws back. I'm not pulling back. I'm not bowing out. I'm not pausing. I'm pressing. I'm pressing, and I will not. The word draw back, you know what it means? Watch this. It means first to withhold. So you're withholding yourself, which would be a form of probably self-protection, I would say. Out of sight, not here today, drawing back. Other than the extreme sickness, or the Brother Lenny, you know, he'd be here. You know, there are others that would be here. I'm not talking about them. It also means to conceal. When you start concealing things, when the things you won't talk about, that's a small step towards drawing back. Could be secret sin. Could just be feelings that you've wrestled with. You don't want to talk about it, and so you start to draw back. And you slowly draw back. It's a slow. Also means to shun, to withdraw, to stall, to abstain from associating with. When you start drawing back, you stop associating with the church. You stop associating with the body. And I can tell you in all the years that Brother Fred and Sister Karen have been here, I have never seen her draw back. She may have missed a time or two because of her ailments. It wasn't much. I never saw her draw. I never saw her isolate herself. I never saw her withdraw. I never saw her stop associating. I wish, Brother Fred, I wish I could just ask her, Sister Karen, how did you do it? What did you do, and what was inside of you during those times you wanted to draw back, but you wouldn't? You kept pushing yourself, and you kept pushing yourself, and you pressed. And I would have to say it's this one single thing. If I had to take a guess, I would have to say, because she kept her eyes on the prize. I feel that. If we could just keep our eyes on the prize, if we could just keep our eyes on eternity, so many other problems would get so small. Yes, hard. Yes, there's storms. Yes, we step out in faith. Yes, we sink, but we keep our eyes on Jesus. So I've come to tell you today, you will make it if you'll take Sister Karen's lead. You will make it if you follow those steps. I write them down, hang them on your mirror. You will make it. You will make it. I know from time to time people wonder, am I going to make it? I don't know, Pastor. Some days I feel like I'm not going to make it. Has anybody ever felt that way? Raise your hand. Bunch of humans here. But I'm here to tell you, you will make it if you follow the lead of those that have gone before you. Those that taught themselves to press, they taught themselves to push. They did not teach themselves to live by feelings. Those that did not allow things to become excuses in their life, even if it was a valid excuse. Even if they could have, you'll make it. Would you stand with me? I want to make it, Brother Kenny. With all of my heart, I want to make it. I want every person here to make it. But you know what the reality is? Everybody won't make it. New Year's Eve, 2020. We had our midnight pray through midnight into 2021, I think it was. I got up here and I said to the church, I said, everybody won't be here next year. That's not what I wanted. That's not what I hoped for. I just knew reality. I knew what I felt in the Holy Ghost. And I can start calling off names for you right now. Not going to. You know why? They drew back. Put that scripture up there again, please. The last verse. He said, my soul. Go to the next verse. That's not it. Go to the next verse. Is that my verses? Yeah, there you go. Go back one. There it is. Sorry. The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. If you want God to be pleased with you today, and you will say within yourself, no matter where I'm at in my life right now today, I'm not drawing back, would you please just come to this front and stand? I won't give up. I will not quit. I will not pull back. I will not disassociate myself. I will not separate myself from the body. I will not draw back. I will not isolate myself. No matter what, I'll keep pressing. And I'll keep pressing. And sometimes you get tired of pressing. And sometimes here comes the Lord to bring a wind of refreshing in, to give you another breath. It's kind of like when you're running and you're out of breath and all of a sudden you start with a new breath. I'm going to press. I'm going to press. I want to ask you to make this one commitment today that I'm going to press. Let me read to you real quick those 5 points one more time. Number one. You believe. And when you believe, you receive. You seize a hold of what God gives you. Number two, do not neglect your salvation. Protect it. Don't let deception draw you away. It all goes hand in hand. Don't neglect the word. Don't neglect your prayer life. Don't neglect as the Bible says, the assembling of the saints. You press forward. decide no matter what I do, I'm going to keep pressing forward. I'm going to press. I'm going to press. I'm going to press. And you decide it's a good fight. It's worthy fight. It's a fight that's worth fighting. And do not draw back. Don't pull back. Don't disassociate yourself. If you do those things, you will make it. You will make it. Don't get hung up on what's wrong, what didn't happen, what didn't. You will make it. You will make it. Lord Jesus, I love you. I honor you, gracious Father. I thank you for your rich presence that I feel right now into this place. God, I pray as we begin to cry out unto you, as we begin to talk to you, ask him this morning, give me strength, Lord. I'm on my last leg, God. I need some strength. I need something from heaven this morning. I need a fresh wind. God, I need a refreshing. I need a renewing of the Holy Ghost. I need something, God, to come under my wings and hold me up. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, I give you praise this morning. Lord, I give you praise this morning. Let your will be done, God, in every single life that's in this building. And I pray for those that drew back this morning. I pray for them. I pray that the presence of the Lord would move into their home, into their mind, God, would begin to convict them in a good way. Hallelujah. Lord, that we would continue to fight this good fight of faith. God, that we would go on another day, God, another week, another month. I'm going to press to the end of 2026, and then I'm going to press into 2027, should the Lord tarry, and then I'm going to press through the year. I don't know what's coming my way, God, but I'm going to step out. I'm going to step out of my boat. I'm going to step out in faith, and I'm going to trust you, Jesus. I'm going to trust you, because the just shall live by faith. Hallelujah.
Faith.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will strangely dim in the light of his glory.
You don't know how bad it's been, Pastor. It's been hard. Press. Press right now. Press right now. Just keep pressing. Keep pushing. Press. Keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Come on, press right now. If you feel led to go to somebody and pray with them, go and press with them.
Turn,
help press with them. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light. here.